720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. A beautiful sun-filled Michigan Avenue that's creeping up towards the 50-degree mark again. So amazingly, this is unseasonable weather, but the kind of weather that we know, love, and enjoy, and people out on the street, Michigan Avenue, are enjoying it as well. Hope you are enjoying it wherever you are hearing the broadcast today. We've got a great show on tap for you. An eclectic blend, as we mentioned with Scott, a bunch of different things. We kind of gear up, get ready for the start of the race season, the Daytona 500, the 60th running of it is coming up in just a few weeks. We will talk a little bit of tech as well, and of course a little bit of food, and then even some movies. And people are thinking, geez, Dane, what does that have to do with cars or travel? Well, unless you know you're Elvis and you've got your own movie theater in your house, you're going to travel to the theater. But which movies? Because everybody wants to make the best use of that trip, and you're going to want to get some input on the movie, the Oscar nominated movie that's already been recognized for something. But which movie out there recognized by the Oscars is worth the trip? So we'll talk with Blake Stubbs a little bit later on in the program about that. So coming up right after this break, we are going to have Jennifer Jolly. She is, you know her, she's a columnist for the New York Times. You see her on the USA Today and CNN and all those things. She's going to talk about travel tech, great ways, and we've seen the ways that the whole tech world has kind of morphed into and blended with our ability to travel and take vacations. Remember back in the day when you used to have to go to a travel agent? Not that you shouldn't. It's great to get some input from some educated sources, but now you can, you know, book your own travel. You can explore and learn so much from the internet, and the tech world is trying to help us do a little bit more of that as well. Our racing connections, we're going to have Adam Alexander from Fox. NASCAR Race Hub is kicking off their season coming up in just a couple of days. He's going to join us from North Carolina to talk about the season starting up. And Scott Paddock, the visionary leader with his hand on the pulse of everything racing when it comes to Chicago, whether it's Route 66 Raceway heading into their 20th year or Chicagoland Speedway. New dates, new events, new ways for you to get involved. Race your own cars and meet the stars and legends of the sport as well. So quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Jennifer Jolly on talking tech and travel. Keep it here on the road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, a beautiful Michigan Avenue. And when you think of all the things that are traditional, Michigan Avenue is an iconic location in Chicago, but so many things are changing on the tech side. And a lady that is traveling the world on a regular basis, connecting with people, educating people, keeping people on that cutting edge as she always is. And of course, you recognize her as the columnist for the New York Times. She is the digital lifestyle correspondent for the Today Show, and she is on with us. Jennifer Jolly, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Now, if only I could embed some technology in my brain to get my time zone correct.
Oh
my goodness.
That is only a minute away. I suggested in the text earlier today, it's like, why do, as the world gets smaller and smaller, could we kind of embrace sort of a 24-hour clock? I mean, so just so everyone's, because it is hard. I know the listeners, very few of them are booking people in different time zones, and it probably doesn't come to play much, but it seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that you think about all that often, but when you are on the road or in the air or, you know, traveling as much as so many of us are these days, you know, business travelers, people who have jobs that take them around the world. It is, I just got upside down and backward a little today. You know, just was thinking, wait, you know, Chicago's this time, not that time. So, you know, it's silly because I'm through Chicago all the time. But little things like that, you know, there does need to be a simpler way to do it all, for sure.
Well, here's the thing. So you're in New York and you're speaking to a group on travel and tech. And we, before we went to the break and got to you, we were talking about some of the different ways that travel has changed, even on the, whether it's business travel, vacation travel, just something simple like, you know, like an Uber or Lyft, like a ride share, has changed the way that people can travel in countries where, you know, so much of that conversation or the communication, which is often the difficult part, is taken out of the equation. But on the tech and travel side, what are some of the cool new things that are happening?
Well, one of the hottest trends for 2018 is experiential vacations. And a lot of us have been doing this already or talking about this, but this is basically catering to authentic, challenging, participatory experiences. And Airbnb, who for a long time have helped us connect to places to stay like a local, well, now they've launched Airbnb Experiences. So this connects you to people around the world that are offering not just a place to stay, They may or may not even be doing that, but unique vacation experiences. You can go run with someone in Kenya, you know, marathon running in Kenya, violin making in Paris, things that are just genuinely mind-boggling and worth building your entire vacation around. And what's been my experience is not only do you get in and get to see and feel and touch and test things that you normally wouldn't, but you also make a friend and you end up going out to dinner, and it's a lot more about traveling and living like a local.
Now,
so I think that's pretty cool.
On the experience, that is great. Now, is this something that's sort of curated by Airbnb where they have a menu of different experiences that are nearby? And it could be anything, like you said, from a cooking class to running with a Kenyan. Is it the kind of thing that they sort of vet the situation, choose it? Or is it as open as, let's say, like an eBay kind of thing where everybody's kind of individually managing their own experiences they offer?
It's much more carefully vetted at this point. There are a lot of choice and a lot of price range, but it is more vetted like a Lyft or an Uber. They, you know, test them out. They try them out. It's not just, they really are worried about you getting in a situation that you'd be in. Guru Walk,
right.
Which I'm happy that they're worried about that because, yeah. You know, you don't want to be halfway across the world and, you know, on some insane excursion that, you know, could kill you. But a Guru Walk is a little more mildly paced. There's an app called Spotted by Locals. You pay $3.99 for that app, but it does give you recommendations on where to eat and shop and be entertained by locals. So my husband and I used that in New York City last night. And, you know, that's a good one, too. And then here's a kind of a funny one. It's beachinspector.com.
Whoa.
I just like the name of that one. I mean, come on, Beach Inspector. But they have 1,500 beaches, detailed insight into more than 1,500 beaches from Europe and Africa to the Middle East and Asia. And it's really detailed, everything from where to park, what water sports are available, the range of places to eat, the demographics of other people there, so you don't actually show up on a nude beach, or maybe you do, whatever is your choice. But it's really cool.
You know, those are the kind of things that I think are really neat. We always talk about it. The best recommendation you can get is that word of mouth recommendation. Advertising is one thing, but if you can get input from someone who is there, I mean, the value, I think everybody understands that the value is just so much higher. The beach inspector thing, well, that's kind of cool because they're not everything makes it into, or at least accurately makes it into either brochures or some of the travel sites. And so to have individuals kind of sharing their opinions, I think is really great. Is there anything dangerous? And you mentioned you don't want to get yourself in a dangerous situation. I think a lot of us have seen that YouTube video of the safari. I think the drive your own safari I think it might have been China, where the person decides, unfortunately, to get out, and then the tiger takes them and I think eats them. So are there any kind of danger, thrill seeking kind of things in there?
You know, no technology in the world or on the planet can make up for stupid. You know, So there's got to be a lick of common sense in all of this. But, you know, the dangerous things would be potentially to find things that have not been vetted. Maybe it's a kind of a wonky looking Craigslist ad, or something's making the viral rounds via one of the social media sites. And, you know, you should be able to call the person, talk to the person. If you're in different countries, different continents, and you can't call from place to place, you should be able to email with them or Facebook with them. I mean, even some of the most remote places in the world, they're on Facebook. They can Facebook with you. So if there's no digital sign of them anywhere in the world, I would steer clear of it.
Yeah, some people want to get as authentic as they can be, but you've got to use your own common sense. If there's a snake charmer class, you know, cobra snake charmer class in India, you've got to kind of, you know, use your best judgment. Maybe this isn't the best thing for you, or how close is medical attention? Yeah. I wanted to ask you, and of course,
don't get out of the car if there are lions, hungry lions around. Stay in the car.
Right.
Stay in the car.
I'm sure there's, right, I'm sure there's some kind of disclaimer. I'm sure they signed all the waiver forms too. But so you're in New York speaking to a group, and I want to, you know, seen as you know, one of the experts in this field, what are some of the questions that people either come and ask you about? What are some of the most common things that people are looking for? Are there things kind of on the horizon that people are saying, you know, Jennifer, when will this be ready?
One of the biggest things I'm getting asked about quite a lot these days are real-time language translators.
Oh,
you know, Google came out with their Pixel Buds a little earlier in the year, and they were pretty glitchy. But I do have one that I'm showing off to an audience here today, 5 o'clock at the Javits Center today, that is called Travis the Translator. And I got my hands on it first at CES, the big Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, a few weeks ago. It can fit into the palm of your hand. It's a small little device, not very much bigger than my husband's saying a Wi-Fi device, but you know, I always go straight to food, and I was thinking like a pack of M&Ms because
okay.
That's how I think about these things. But it can fit into the palm of your hand, but it can translate 80 languages with a SIM card. And without a Wi-Fi connection, it can translate 20 languages. So in offline mode, no Wi-Fi, no SIM card, it can still do 20 languages. And you just navigate a few little arrows on this push-button device, and you speak, you know, your English question into it. How do you get to the Eiffel Tower? And it will translate that to French, say it audibly in French, then the person, you know, answers you, and then it translates right back. So there's a half a second lag time in between, but it's the closest thing I've found to this real-time language translator, and it's a real game changer.
Oh, and they have got, this is one of those amazing things. I think I saw a commercial. Sometimes the commercials or the ads that they have online for these things are maybe a little ambitious. You know, they're not quite where maybe it's showing it. But just the idea of this, it's mind-blowing because it is that game changer, like you said, that'll allow us to communicate. You know, that's always been kind of the barrier, and they've gotten better and better on the computer side, being able to kind of translate where you can type things in and it comes back not only with some basic translation but also stuff that people would understand and kind of accept as normal conversation in that language. They've got somewhere there's I think you have like an earbud where you know it actually translates and then speaks it into your ear and then you speak mm-hmm. into this and then the speaker from whatever it is that you're holding kind of is able to translate and speak it to the person in front of you. That just the idea when they get that and if they're that close when they get that perfected, that's going to be everyone can travel everywhere and just communicate. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's so, so cool. The other things that, you know, I cannot leave home without are ways to charge up my gadgets on the go and a way to be on Wi-Fi wherever I go. Because no matter what country you go to, you may or may not be able to replace a SIM card or be charged a bajillion dollars for international roaming fees, that kind of thing. You always want to try to work that out ahead of time. But this is another giant question. I have the Skyroam Solus, Skyroam Solus. It's a mobile Wi-Fi hotspot, so it takes care of that problem. You can make Skype calls or Facebook calls back and forth without incurring any charges. Plus, it charges up your phone up to 3 times in one day. So
wow.
It kills 2 birds with one stone, handy little gadget, and it basically connects you anywhere in the world for about $8 a month, which I have not found anything even remotely as affordable as that.
Oh, I mean, if you're traveling at all in any kind, and we here in the Chicagoland area, metropolitan area, certainly you in New York today, you know, you kind of take Wi-Fi and connectivity for granted. But once you get a little bit further out, you know, or any kind of place like the mountains or any place, a lot of times that is a huge, huge issue is being able to kind of find to find a connection to the internet. And so I think that's something that's really amazing. We want to let the listeners know we're talking with Jennifer Jolly. You know her as for the New York Times and obviously the digital lifestyle correspondent for the Today Show, CNN, all the places that we see her. One of the things here on the road is people are curious about and excited about the whole rideshare thing, how that's changed the way that people can get around. I had heard in Boston they're actually starting to launch or very soon maybe these driverless rideshare cars.
Mm.
What is the latest that you've heard about that? Is that something that's on the horizon? I mean, you can see all the pitfalls that come to mind on the insurance side, but is that something we'll see soon?
You know, it's amazing. I've ridden in quite a few of these autonomous cars, and they're quite a bit safer than a human driver. And
what?
People always say, what? How can that be? Well, think about it. You've got a car that is stopping for 3 seconds at every stop sign, that has these radars on it that can sense whether any kind of object's coming into the street long before you can see it out of your peripheral vision or react to it. it doesn't break a single traffic law. So that's one thing. I was actually a little impatient a couple of times riding in these. They used Lyft, and Ford had them down at CES recently. I've also ridden in them on the Ford campus. Chevy's done some of this stuff. They are rolling out, and San Francisco's got a fleet that does some Lyft and some Uber kind of integration, I think, with Toyota. So these are rolling out. And it's funny because I actually get a little impatient. I'm like, come on, step on it. You know, they go the speed limit. We will see these rolling out more over the next 2 years. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny how you don't realize, you know, how kind of fast-paced we are until something's actually driving the speed limit.
I did not think of that as the problem. Like Jennifer's saying, it isn't necessarily something to worry about in the safety. It's more like, hey, buddy, take a right on red. Come on, BD8, you can do this. All right, well, exciting stuff, and it's great to have you, you know, out there sharing all of it, kind of on the cutting edge, your hand on the pulse of so much of it. You're going to have a great event in New York. Before we let you go, give out your social media so people can follow all your adventures and all the stuff that that you're doing coming up.
All right. You can find me on Facebook at Jennifer Jolly. You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer. I pretty much just remember that name, Jennifer Jolly. It's Jen Jolly on Instagram, sometimes Jennifer Jolly Tech. And then my website is either jenniferjolly.com or the same. It will take you to the same place as techish.com, because I'm not about deep tech. I'm about using the tech that's available to make your life a little easier, a little better, and your travel a little safer and smarter as well.
Introducing us, kind of keeping us up to speed with all the cool things going on. Jennifer, one of the best in the business. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll come back, then throw it to news. Coming back after the news, we're going to have Dr. Barbecue on to talk about Winter Smoke 2018. So keep it here. It's On the Road with Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us now, we've got a longtime Chicago resident, big-time White Sox fan in the middle of Sox Fest going on right now. Barbecue Hall of Famer, guru, author, and all-around generally good guy, the one and only Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue. Ray, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, good to hear you, man. Sorry about my voice. I've got kind of got that crud that everybody else has got this time of year, but I feel pretty good.
Good to know, and always appetizing all the crud. Anyway, okay, good to have you calling in, and I wanted to let you know we had in studio with Frank Thomas on earlier. He's got a new club here. You'll have to visit. It's over in Berwyn, which I think is one of your stomping grounds, right? And he's got it's the 35 Club, and it's in the old bank building, if you know where that is.
Yeah, I think that's the second generation of something there. And, that's my old neighborhood, man. I used to go to that bank when I was a kid. I mean, I know that area well.
So you'll have to visit it when you come up, because you're going to be we're happy and honored to have you participating in Winter Smoke 2018. I know you were in on it last year, so let's give the listeners a little bit of insight to it. It's out in Rosemont, and it is really the best value for any barbecue event, because you have some of the true, you know, you don't want to pat yourself on the back, I'll do it for you, but some of the greats, you know, are going to be there in Rosemont.
You know, I got shamed into it, kind of. Not that I'm not always happy to come to Chicago, but Dave Raymond called me. He sends out this email to me and famous Dave Raymond being Sweet Baby Ray. And he says, you know, native sons, we'd like to invite you to come and come to our event. And I said, okay, I'll let you know if I can make it. Well, Dave, he doesn't accept that. So he just declares that I'm coming. Puts me on all the paperwork and everything. So now I was shamed into it, but I'm kidding, because I don't mind at all. I'm happy to come up. It's always fun to hang with Dave and famous Dave, of course, and it's a good cause. These guys are raising money for a good cause, and like you said, all the barbecue people in Chicago are all in one place. It's really kind of an amazing thing how well everybody gets along when you put them all in the same room, you know?
Yeah, it's neat to find out you're participating in an event when you see yourself up on a billboard on 290, like, hey, come see Ray.
You know, you're going to look bad if you don't show
right,
up.
I guess I'm going to be. And you said it too. There are, you know, so Barry from Smoke Barbecue, one of the best ones. Bub City is going to be involved. Real Urban Barbecue. Lily Q. So Charlie McKenna is going to be there. Brian Sharko from Sharko's Pork Chop. Uncle Bubs is going to be there out of Westmont. And Famous Dave's. And of course, Sweet Baby Ray's and Chicago Culinary Kitchen. So a lot of great stuff here. And it's all you can eat. But give a little bit, because you attended it last year. I'll be emceeing it this year. What's the vibe, right? You've got music, you've got food. It's great.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's really just a party, but with all these famous barbecue people coming. And, you know, when they all come together, everybody tries to do something a little special. And you know, they're not just phoning it in because they only want to one-up each other. And they know their peers are all eating the food, too. So it's really, yeah, like you said, it's a great deal. You could eat a whole lot of barbecue for the money.
Yeah, and it's for the Illinois Barbecue Alliance. And the proceeds are going to go to support all of that work still need to be done in Puerto Rico for the hurricane relief. So that's going to be great. And before we let you go, Ray, I know you just got done doing your own radio show down there in Florida. Give a shout out and a plug for what it is that you're doing on the radio side. Great to have you involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really thought I was going to be a radio guy, but it was an opportunity that came up. Ian Beckles is an ex NFL player, played for the Buccaneers for years, and he loves food and loves a big green egg. And we were talking one day, and we said, well, why don't we do a radio show? So we're doing 2 hours every Saturday down here called Flavor, and really just talking about food. And, man, we're having a lot of fun doing it. We found this volleyball player, Taylee Telechia, that also has a culinary degree, and she likes to talk about food, and she's better looking than me and Ian, so it really is a nice fit. We're on the number one station down here. I don't know how I stumbled into this, but it's you can listen via the app at 102.5 The Bone. And if you want to hear us, I don't know, I stumbled into it, but I'm having a lot of fun.
I love radio, and I love you too. And of course, all your fans here in Chicago love you. Hopefully, we'll get to see you and talk to you in person coming up on the 17th over there at it's at Joe's and Bub City that they've got out in Rosemont as well. And it was great seeing you too out at our mutual friend guys. It's always great. A lot of barbecue people out there too. You know, Gorilla and everybody out there.
Yeah, we were talking about that on our show today, and I was saying one of the things, you know, we can't talk about everything we see out there, but one of the things you can talk about is what we eat, is all the diners, drive-ins, and dives restaurants are just lined up there feeding us for the whole weekend.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And I can't wait to see you. I know we're going to be giving away a couple tickets a little bit later on in the program, too, and people get a chance to see Famous Dave, Sweet Baby Ray, all the local people here, Barry, and, of course, you're coming in from out of town as well. So thanks, Rob. We're going to let you get back to enjoying your weekend and get a Sucrets in there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, certainly need some.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
See you, Dave.
All right, we are going to take a break, and we come back. You know, it is Oscar season. They've given out the nomination. You think to yourself, what is the best movie that's been kind of nominated by the Oscars, but it's also worth the trip? Blake Stubbs is going to join us, blockbuster Blake Stubbs, when we come back. Quick break, On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane. Live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, and the big news is all the shows are talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. The Oscar nominations are out. And you think to yourself, you know, I'm not a guy that gets out to a ton of movies. You know, I got to see Coco and we all cried. Everybody cried. Camille, have you seen Coco?
No, but I've heard it's great. Last time Blake was here, he was talking about that. And I really want to see it.
Yeah. Well, you should see, if you want to cry, you should see it. Or bring the necessary accoutrements for crying, right? Bring some Kleenex and some things like that. So if you want to cry, you can get out there and see it. But I can't see all the movies, but I want to maybe get to see some of these that are out there. And so Blake Stubbs, blockbuster Blake Stubbs, is joining us to kind of give us the ones that are worth the trip. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be on with you guys again.
So now, it's one thing to be the movie cinematic guru that you are, of course, you know, longtime participant of the program, and people love your insight, and you have the full range of movie making that you can share. But if you had to distill it down to maybe one or two movies that you think, or three, you know, or something like that, you know, some kind of manageable number that would be like the best bang for people's time and people's dollars, what would you? And it isn't necessarily best picture nominees, because sometimes you know that the Oscars have sort of an angle that they go on. You know, you'll never have an action film, you'll never have a comedy. You know, usually they're either, you know, movies that have some sort of social impact or something. But a lot of them get nominated for different categories too that are great.
Yeah, so a big thing, excuse me, this year is that I think the Best Picture category, which we have 9 nominees, I think it covers a wide range of different types of stories, all told, you know, some have way bigger budgets than others. Some are, you know, thriving on world building and creating. Some are thriving on, you know, building tension for the audience members. And others are just really telling great coming of age type of stories. So if you open up a list of these nominees, and I'm not going to read all of them off, but if you did, I think anyone would find a movie that they could go see. But the big thing is that this year, the Oscars, I feel, really paid attention to the whole year of movies. We didn't all just get, you know, roped into seeing votes come in for just films that came out in the last quarter of the year, which is usually the big Oscar push.
Well, here's the thing, too, is there's some that where people have said, and I've listened to some of the shows where they're kind of saying, you know, Shape of Water, right, is almost a shoe-in for yes. something there. But it's kind of a unique movie, right, at least from the trailers. I have not seen it, but it's – and this is, you know, and just forgive me for just this broad kind of description, but isn't it, you know, a lady falls in love with like a sea monster guy? Is that it? Does that completely
– That's sort of, I mean, that if I were going to say what is the simplest, almost comedic, simple way to explain what's going on in them, yes, that would be one of them.
Love plus sea monster equals Shape of Water.
Yes. The film has commanding performances from everyone involved, especially, and look, everybody's going to talk about Sally Hawkins, Richard Jenkins. These are the Oscar nominees. Michael Shannon, from just watching the trailer, you know he's your villain. But Doug Jones, who has been a staple in all of Guillermo del Toro's work, really shines here. And I think that, you know, Guillermo has used him in everything. I mean, he was in Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy. You know, just find a del Toro film, and Doug Jones is attached. But he's always behind, you know, heavy makeup or a really incredible costume. This is a film. I felt finally we got to see this man while he is in that costume, you know, that full body suit. They found ways to make it really exemplify the acting that's going into all of his portrayal. And I can't say enough. I mean, he's not nominated, but yes, that is definitely a film you want to get out and see. Visually, you know, I think it's some of the best art direction I've seen all year. Certainly some of the best costuming. The cinematography is outstanding. Visual effects, they're seamless in almost every scene. And again, this is though driven by really great acting and storytelling. I mean, this is, I think, some directors, you know, they'll have these big things like Pacific Rim was a very fun film for Guillermo del Toro to make. But this is a film that has clearly been a passion project of his for a very long time. And probably the type of film that, you know, he wasn't going to make until he could make it right. And he finally got to, and it has, I believe, 11 or 13 nominations. I mean, wow. This is one of the biggest films at the Oscars this year. So, yes, if you're one of those people that has, like, look, I can see maybe 3 movies before I go, I would definitely put The Shape of Water high on your list. But as charming as the trailers can make that film seem, don't take the kids. I want to make sure people are aware of that. Like, last time I was on the show, I talked about Coco, Take the Family, Everybody's Going to Cry, it's great. This is one where adults only for this. Okay. There is some material in it that I want to make sure people are aware of. But at the same time, I would put it on my don't miss this list for sure.
I wanted to ask you too, and this is a movie that people have asked about just down the street, and you hear the amazing performance of Gary Oldman is Darkest Hour. Now people are kind of coming down on both sides of it, saying, "Hey, the movie is okay," you know, and obviously there's that historical yep. backdrop that everyone is familiar with, and maybe a new and fresh and exciting look at Winston Churchill and his role in it. But they say his performance is amazing.
It is the absolute standout element of this film. I also thought that the editing and the visual play that they made in a lot of transitions and scenes to, like, sort of isolate Churchill was going through sort of a period of trauma because he was dealing with all of these things that were being thrown at him. But at the same time, he was trying to stand up and answer for them and be a leader. And Oldman really does encapsulate this character. And I want to say character because we've all seen a different portrayal of Churchill by this point. If we watch, you know, films, History Channel, anything, you've seen archive footage of the man, you've read about him, but Oldman, I think, turns this into something that is very special, as opposed to many of the other great actors that have taken on this role. It is a worthy nomination for him to be in the Best Actor category. I would say he's one of the front runners, if not the front runner. that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. He's been nominated before. He's never won. And I'm still a little perturbed that he didn't win for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. But at the same time, yeah, if you want to see one of the finest performances of the year and you want to kind of have a backdrop that you're familiar with, Darkest Hour is a great film for that reason. I wouldn't call it Best Picture. I have a couple other questions, you know, about nominations it was given in different categories. But it is a good film. But what makes it great, if anything, is Gary Oldman. He is the rock that really drives that whole film from beginning to end.
You mentioned The Rock, and so I know that you know, Baywatch is not nominated. I know that was missing there.
Yes.
And of course, The Rock is one of your favorite actors, and you're one of his biggest cheerleaders. Couldn't do enough cheering to get him involved in this list today. But so talk about maybe a couple other movies that you have in mind that you've kind of picked out that have gotten some recognition from Oscars, but you think are great. If you're going to pick one or two, you got to go.
Well, I definitely want to point people toward Lady Bird. I know that Greta Gerwig's, you know, this is really her debut as a director. I know she's done some writing in other realms, but at the same time, this is her pet project. Saoirse Ronan, you know, Laurie Metcalf. Laurie Metcalf is one of the favorites to win Best Supporting Actress. That's a film, true coming of age that, you know, a lot of people are like, well, we always have a coming of age story. I said, I think this one is very genuine. I think that it connects with audiences very well. It was, you know, talked about, you know, exponential, like it went from being this movie that people kind of heard about to exponentially growing to the most talked about movie in the country for a while because it held 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and still goes down as the most positively reviewed film in the history of that website.
Wow.
So I don't want people to miss that. Another film for me, because there's a writer-director who I've always been a champion for,
Blake,
Martin McDonagh, Three Billboards is another one.
Blake, before you get into to Three Billboards, for Lady Bird, give kind of like the, you don't have to be as rudimentary as me, you know, what plus what equals what, but give kind of that background, like what is it in like 10 seconds, 30 seconds, like Lady Bird, what's
sure.
it about?
So Lady Bird is about a young woman who's trying to figure out what she's going to do next. She's in high school. Grades aren't really her strong suit. She has a hard time connecting with her mother. She loves her mother, but their relationship is a bit strained. Their family scenario isn't the greatest because dad's trying to hang on to a job. And she's really trying to go through all of these things, this whole, like, finding out who she is and what her next steps are all going to be. But everything is coming together all at once. And at the same time, she wants to be strong. She wants to be independent. She wants to make decisions herself. She doesn't want to just be told she can't do something. So I find that because of that big reason, audiences have been able to connect with it, support it, and want that movie to do well. And they should, because it's done very, very well.
Yeah, it sounds like the kind of thing that everybody can relate to. Okay, Three Billboards. Like, talk about that. I know that's one you wanted to highlight.
Yeah, Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri is written and directed by Martin McDonagh, who careful audience members who know that name will remember him from In Bruges, which was nominated for Best Original Screenplay many years ago. He also is an Oscar winner for the short film Six Shooter. And this film is the third film he's made that highlights a small town where a horrific crime happened and a young woman was raped and murdered. And the local police never made any arrests. The mother of that young woman takes out ads on three billboards that are right outside of town as you drive in that sort of call out the chief of police and causes a very big stir in this small town. What transpires is a film that tackles issues about how people respond to things like sexual assault, domestic violence, you know, being strong in a time of great grief. At the same time, it also tackles racism. There is two stories going on at once in this film that I think make it stand out. One is, you know, someone going through sort of a great fall while someone else is coming through a slow and yet at the same time worthy redemption. So by the end of the film, you're kind of left thinking about who these people all are and who these characters are and how great, you know, the depth to which all of these actors portrayed these characters. I mean, Frances McDormand and Sam Rockwell have got to be front runners for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actor, respectively. I know that, you know, Woody Harrelson gives one of his finest performances, and he's also nominated opposite his co-star.
Wow.
So this is one of those films that could easily fall, like, people see this really long title, and they're like, ah, that's whatever. This is a movie that is funny, it's touching. I would call it a dark comedy, but at the same time, the drama within it is very impacting. And I think that it stirs conversation. And in the time, you know, that we're living, I think certain conversations that can emanate from this film are important. So it might make people feel uncomfortable at times. At the same time, there's characters to root for. There's characters you can hate. There's characters that, you know, you might be rooting for at the beginning, you won't be rooting for at the end, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to say about that film. I don't want to give too much away. I think people need to experience it and talk about it afterwards.
See,
which is why it's one of my front runners for Best Picture.
See, Blake gives you not only, you know, he kind of maps it out, says this is something that you should do, but he also kind of breaks down the reasons why. Camille has got a question. We've got about, you know, maybe 30 seconds left, Blake, so we definitely want to get your information, but Camille's got a question.
Yeah, just a quick question. One of the movies I was able to see this Oscar season was I, Tonya, and I just want to know what you think of that, because I really enjoyed that movie. I just want your quick opinion on that one.
I feel really bad that Sebastian Stan was snubbed by the Academy this year. I thought he gave a very strong performance. I think it was a career-defining performance for Margot Robbie. She's been very big and growing as a star, but this time people are going to look at her very differently. As far as the style of the film goes, I thought it suited its story. I thought there was a little bit lost in the execution of the script, but I think it was made up for by, you know, careful editing. And at the same time, there's really good visual effects in that movie. Making Margot Robbie a figure skater was not just done because Margot Robbie's a figure skater. And, you know, once again, at the same time, Allison Janney. I mean, what a powerhouse actress. I can't say enough positive things about I, Tonya.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. All right. So for those people who want to keep up with you and your adventures, the best in the business, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, give your social media out so we can get that out there before we let you go.
Definitely. You want to find me on Twitter at Blake Stubbs. And I have a habit come Oscar night of doing a little live tweet action, you know, maybe throwing out some snark here and there. I don't comment on the dresses and the tuxes, but I do comment on some of the jokes and whether or not certain people win or don't win, because I do get a little invested. I'm a movie lover at heart. So sometimes I have people I want to win and they don't.
Well, we're going to talk to you a bunch before the end, before that night and for that red carpet stuff. So thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on, Blake. Have a great weekend.
Absolute pleasure. You guys have a great one, and hopefully I'll see you at the movies.
Yeah, wait, look at that. It's like a catchphrase there, Camille. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll send it to news. After the news, Adam Alexander from Fox Sports and NASCAR on Fox is going to join us. So stay tuned on the road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
This is how we roll.
This is Adam Alexander with NASCAR on Fox. You're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. On the line with us now, we've got longtime pit reporter and racing personality known for his great work on DirecTV Hot Pass. I love that stuff. Speed Channel and TNT's Monster Energy Cup coverage. Now, of course, as a race announcer for the NASCAR Infinity Series and co-host along with Shannon Spake on the always awesome NASCAR Race Hub on FS1. Honored to have the one and only Adam Alexander. Welcome to WGN.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Dane.
No, it is great to have you. It means when we're talking that the season is gearing up. It's getting ready to roll. I know that Race Hub is going to premiere, so you'll have a lot of kind of silly season stuff to talk about as you get closer to Speed Week and the Daytona 500. But I wanted to ask you, growing up in Indiana, obviously now, you know, you're calling us from North Carolina. There is absolutely no question what sport is king in North Carolina. It is obviously racing. But Indiana's kind of conflicted, right? Because you have, I mean, Hoosiers and basketball, so much great history. Then you've got, of course, Indianapolis and the 500. For Indiana, like, which sport really takes hold as far as kind of in charge in your home state?
Well, I would say that that's been a little bit of a moving target in the last, you know, 25, 30 years. As a kid growing up in rural southern Indiana, it was always about basketball, and that was the height of Indiana University and Bob Knight and their runs to the Final Four and national championships, and they were powers year in, year out on a national level, and Purdue got really good at basketball, and there was quite a rivalry between Indiana and Purdue. And so basketball for a long time was king. And then in the month of May, the Indianapolis, you know, 500 would take over, and that would be the big deal. And then in the early 90s, the Brickyard 400, you know, became a big thing as NASCAR moved to Indianapolis for the first time ever. And about that same time, you know, Peyton Manning was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, and there was a time where you could have made a huge argument for football being the big sport in Indiana. But right now, I would say that each sport kind of takes its turn. If the Colts are hot, football's a big deal. Basketball is always going to be big. And certainly, the month of May and late summer are huge cornerstones for racing when you talk about the Indianapolis 500 and the Brickyard 400.
Well, okay, so that sounds great, right? Each one kind of has its season. You have an opportunity to really embrace all of those there. When it comes to racing, though, and one of the things that you guys do, and I've talked with Shannon's been on the show, and a number of people that have participated in Race Hub have been on the show before. And one of the things I love that you guys do is you not only extend the season, there is legitimate things to talk about and share with viewers, you know, coming up very, very soon, is extending the season, talking about all of the drama, the backstories, all that silly season stuff moving between the teams, of course, but a lot of the personality stuff. And so as you get ready for another season of Race Hub, what are some of those stories before we even talk about anything on the track that you're looking forward to sharing?
Well, I think, you know, we were just in a meeting today with the guys at Joe Gibbs Racing. And so much of our preseason and our off-season conversations are not as much about rules and who's going to be in what car and what the stat line was a year ago. Those conversations in the off season tend to center around what stories can we tell about each individual driver and how did they spend their individual off season? What unique things were they doing that we can talk about on the air? And I think every driver has a different story to tell in that regard. So we spend a lot of time trying to dig those up. A couple of interesting things that came out today, you know, Christopher Bell. You ask him, what's your hobby when you're not racing? And he's going to tell you, well, I would be racing. He's a big dirt car guy, grew up in Oklahoma, so he's all about that and has already won the Chili Bowl. He's already recorded a big win, and the season hasn't even gotten underway. So for him, that's a story that we will tell. I think another one is a lot of these drivers are having babies. You know, Ty Dillon and his wife had a baby, Kevin Harvick and Delaney had their second. Joey Logano and Brittany, they had a baby. Austin Dillon got married in the off season. Tony Stewart is getting married. So there are so many stories like that, and you don't realize until you hang out with these guys just how human they are. And we spent some time with the guys at Stewart Haas Racing, and there was a lot of teasing Tony about getting engaged, Tony Stewart, and then Kevin Harvick was talking about changing diapers and not getting any sleep. So you realize real quickly that while the race car drivers, and that's what we typically know and talk about when it comes to these individuals, they also have great personal lives and personal stories to tell.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we've talked about it a number of times, that for all of the major sports, it's probably the toughest to get to know the drivers, because, you know, you're watching them even at the closest coverage, unless it's an in-car thing, from, you know, hundreds of feet away, right? You know, and they've got helmets on and they're inside of a car, and you don't get to see a lot of the emotion that happens, you know, while they're actually doing it. And so you, as a guy who's covered the sport, I want to say kind of at the dawn of the internet starting up, but certainly long before social media, talk about that. What do you think? I think it's great because everybody's doing it, right? It isn't unique to racing or sports or anybody. Everybody's sharing their personal moments, their, you know, their children, their vacations, their hobbies, that kind of stuff. But as kind of a tool for NASCAR fans to be able to get even more engaged, how important do you think the whole social media side is these days?
Well, I think it's been big on two fronts. One, it's a great way to share information, and these young drivers, and we talk so much about them because the youth movement has never been stronger in NASCAR. But these young drivers use that as a tremendous channel to share information professionally about what they're dealing with at the racetrack and how is the race car and what's my mindset as I go to this particular track. But they're also very open in sharing what's happening in their personal life because, you know as well as I do, Facebook, Twitter, those are not places that we typically, as the plus 40 crowd, have had public conversations in the past. We just didn't share personal information through those avenues. These young guys don't know any different. And so you do get a tremendous insight to what their lives are like. And it was great. Kevin Harvick was telling me yesterday that in the off season he sent a text to Joey Logano and said, you know, congratulations on the new baby. And he said he sent the text at 4 o'clock, and Joey responded right away and said, thank you. And Kevin said, wait, you're up at 4 o'clock? And he said, yeah, we're feeding the baby. He said, oh, well, that's why I'm sending you the text right now, because we're feeding their baby too. So, so much in common. And I think they also realize that one of the great ways to connect with fans and grow the sport, but also grow their own individual brand, is to be sharing some of this information so that people out there know and understand that, that we're really all a lot alike. And I think that's what social media has done to change the game for NASCAR, but I think overall for sports athletes and entertainers, celebrities in general.
Yeah. And to be able to share some of that stuff and have it all happen real time. It's so strange because you think about it in kind of that driving wheelhouse, no pun intended. It's the kind of stuff that just, you know, everybody is already doing. And so here's the other thing too, and they're just doing it naturally. But you're looking at some drivers now, are they using these kind of avenues independently? It's one thing for teams and sponsors to kind of be savvy with it and say, hey, this is a great way for us to connect. But drivers independently, are you seeing them kind of taking more ownership on the direction of maybe their career or their persona or their brand, so to speak, you know, through that social media in ways that they couldn't do it before? You look at situations where you've got drivers who were successful on the track. Usually that's all they had to worry about, not having a place to race. And then you're seeing maybe that drivers who are looking to get in on things, taking it upon themselves to try to make that connection, make a case that they're a viable entity on the marketing side themselves.
Well, you said it. It's brand, and everybody has one now. And so it's a matter of what do you want to share? What are you willing to share? And what is the end game for you? And I think these drivers know and understand, I can have a long racing career, and I'm still going to be done at 40 to 45. And when I get done, where am I going to go? What opportunities are going to exist? And, you know, I look at Jeff Gordon, who has made the transition from the race car to the broadcast booth. And, you know, I've not talked with Jeff about this a whole lot, but I think one of the things Jeff would tell you is, number one, I went to do TV because it allowed me to maintain a good relationship with the sport. It allowed me to get a little bit of that adrenaline rush when I go on the air, not the same as getting in the race car and going 200 miles per hour, but I did still get that high of doing something that adds a little bit of pressure when I go on the air. But probably bigger than any of that is the Jeff Gordon name didn't just fade off into the sunset like his driving career. The Jeff Gordon name continued to be valid in front of millions of people on a regular basis because he stayed in the sport. He stayed in a high-profile position. And so as he's built his brand, the sponsors that he's dealt with for many years as a race car driver still have a reason to do business with him now as a broadcaster. And there's only so many spots open to be on TV when it comes to broadcasting races. Right. But you have your own channel to broadcast, and that's through social media. And I think drivers realize that, understand that, and they want to build that brand so that they've got life after racing, and they're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, they're benefiting from it. Certainly fans are as well, because they get an opportunity to go ahead and benefit from his career. He's got so much great insight, so much unique insight to share, and it's so cool to have Jeff Gordon included in it. It's funny that you say that. First of all, I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Adam Alexander from Fox Sports. You know him on the Xfinity broadcast, and of course, all the great stuff that he does with the new season starting up on Race Hub. There's only so many spots. You mentioned, I was joking a couple weeks ago with Kyle Petty, with some of these drivers retiring and getting into the broadcast booth. It's almost like a silly season for broadcasting. Who's going to have a ride in the booth to be able to do some talking? So as you guys get ready for Race Hub, that is one of the things you talk about, social media, but you guys being able to offer that avenue for those drivers to get in and kind of share with viewers and fans things that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do through the normal process of racing. Talk a little bit about Race Hub. It is a unique venue. You guys get in there very casual, lots of humor, right? You bring a lot of fun into the racing side.
Well, actually, Adam, hold on. Hold that thought. We're a little bit late for a break. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up with Adam if he can hold on. And we want to let people know, too, 312-981-7200 for the bona fide ride of the show. You can go ahead and send in your first car, your favorite car, your dream car. You can text it in. You can call in and you can talk with Camille. And we're going to announce that winner before the end of the show, as well as the winner of two tickets to Winter Smoke 2018, that barbecue event coming up on the 17th of February. So stay tuned for that quick break. We'll be back with more with Adam. It's on the road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And we wanted to let the listeners know, of course, 312-981-7200. You can send in your first car, your favorite car, your dream car, and be part of the bona fide ride of the show for a $25 gift card to Bona Beef. That is great. You can either send it in by text, you can call and you can talk to Camille. You don't have to send a picture. You can. It always helps. It's fun to be able to share those as well. And we are going to have two tickets tickets to Winter Smoke 2018 that we're going to give away before the end of the program as well. We're not exactly sure what we're going to do. Maybe the 18th caller, when we say, maybe with a few minutes left in the program, we're going to give that out. And information for that is ibbqa.org/events. One of the best barbecue events coming up in Chicago. Certainly the best value. On the line with us, and this is a guy we're excited to have on from Fox NASCAR. He is, you know him from Xfinity, those broadcasts, calling the races, and the host of Race Hub, which is one of those really great shows that we love. It is debuting this new season, 2018, coming up on the 29th. And one of the things that I love it, Adam Alexander, and one of the things that I love about the program is that it not only brings in, you know, some great drivers, casual conversation, but a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of fun and funny into the racing side, right?
Well, I just said it yesterday. We've been doing some shows in the off season in preparation for 2018, and we do a lot of stuff on location. So some of our early shows aren't live in studio. We go out and spend time with teams and broadcast from the different venues in the area. And we did a show yesterday at the Ford Performance Center in Concord, North Carolina. And I talked to Shannon Spence, our co-host, after we were done. And we were just discussing the fun vibe and feel that the show that we did had. And I said, that's something we got to continue to maintain. And then we got to hold one another accountable to that's the mentality and attitude that we create in that studio. And I think that the best part about Race Hub, and it's twofold, is that we are bringing in on a regular basis. Every day we've got someone on our show from an analyst perspective who is competing over the weekend, whether it's Kevin Harvick, who, by the way, will be with us the Monday after the Daytona 500, unless he wins, and then he's got all the obligations that come with winning the 500. But the plan would be to have Kevin come in and be our analyst that Monday after the 500. Kevin's in our regular rotation. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano. I think Darrell Wallace Jr. is going to be with us some this year.
Nice.
A.J. Allmendinger's been with us forever. Chad Knaus is a great crew chief that's won many championships, obviously, with Jimmy Johnson, who comes to the studio on a regular basis. Drew Blickensderfer, who's the crew chief at Richard Petty Motorsports. These guys are regulars on our show. They're our analyst team, but yet on the weekend, they are out participating and doing it on track. And that's great for us, because we get the true expert opinion. There's no sugarcoating it or pontificating about what happened. They know because they experienced it. And that's unique to any program you'll see in the sports world. But the other thing that's great about that, you know, it's good for the fans, but for Shannon and I as co-hosts, we get a different energy and a different challenge every day. And when you have that as a host, it helps you elevate your game. And it makes sure that you are bringing your energy. And when you have that insurance policy, I think all those ingredients come together to help make NASCAR Race Hub what it is.
Yeah. You're right, and you hit on it. I think it's great, too. It's a luxury for the fans to have that as an avenue and outlet. And to hear, and you mentioned not really sugarcoated, but kind of those, you know, a lot of times in the racing world, because of the sponsor obligations, you don't want to offend anybody. You got that messaging. You know, things are kind of guarded. And to have things kind of be loose, conversational, fun, even a little contentious sometimes, where they bring some of the action, good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent from the track. They bring it into the studio with you guys. I think that it is really great. Do you feel, though, that you're going to try to get in there? Because part of this, I think, for getting to know some of these personalities of these younger drivers as they come in, and there are many, that's something that you're sort of tasked with this year, is kind of get let America get to meet some of these new drivers that they're going to be fans of.
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, as a broadcaster, is not taking your knowledge for granted. I've been reading about these young drivers and anticipating what they'll bring to the table in 2018 for quite some time. And the information about them is fresh in my mind. The knowledge that I have for each driver is long because I've studied and I want to be prepared. And it's easy to get to Daytona and do those first two or three practice sessions and do qualifying and feel like you've delivered the message on these guys. And you lose sight of the fact that the fans at home, they haven't been researching in the off season. They haven't been reading all the stuff that I've been reading. And a story that I might have in my pocket that seems so elementary and well-known is going to be something that is captivating and a story that had never been heard before by those that are watching our broadcast. And so you have to remember a lot of these folks invest a couple hours a week, maybe 4 or 5 hours a week in NASCAR. And when you're on the air Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon with a race, that's when you have your largest audience. And a good portion of those people have not seen all the other shows that we've done.
Right.
And so you owe it to the fan base to make sure, one, you're telling the story of the event, but also educating them on the personalities that are participating, because most of them are not invested at the level that we are.
See? Look at that. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to digest. It's great that you have kind of, you've got it broken down into the scientific side of it and kind of being able to give it in bite-sized nuggets, not take your knowledge for granted, be sure that, because you never know at what point you're catching people as far as on that educational curve on the information side you're able to share. Well, it all starts coming up on the 29th. Race Hub is going to be kicking off their next season. Shannon Spake and, of course, Adam Alexander right there as well. So, Adam, before we let you go, give out all that information as far as best times to catch you, websites, and of course your social media so people can follow your adventures.
Yeah, we're coming back on the air January 29th, and we'll be on at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and that's our normal slot. NASCAR Race Hub's on Monday to Thursday at 6, and we start back on January 29th, and we'll be there through the end of the NASCAR season. So we look forward to another fun and exciting year in studio. And we'll be beginning our live coverage at Daytona on FS1 on Saturday, February 10th. February 11th, Daytona 500 qualifying in the Clash. That will be on Fox. And February 18th, it'll be the 60th running of the Daytona 500 on Fox. So we look forward to that.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. Nonstop excitement. You're going to kick off and kind of lead us into it as Race Hub starts on the 29th. So, Adam, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today on WGN.
You got it. Great to be with you, Dane, and we're looking forward to a great year.
Hi, this is Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us now is a guy, is of course, we hope that we're going to be warming up a little bit later. It's 50 degrees yesterday on Friday. And as things warm up a little bit, the action is going to be heating up at the Center of Racing for Illinois, for Chicagoland. On the line with us, the visionary leader and president over at Chicagoland Speedway and the 20-year-old Route 66 Raceway, the one only Scott Paddock. Scott, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's great to be back on with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always great. And you know, when we get on the phone and talk a little bit, is that we're trying to let people know some of the excitement that's coming up. So a lot of the things people know and love, but also some new things too, with some new dates at the tracks.
You got it. Believe it or not, it's the 20th anniversary of Route 66 Raceway. Hard to believe that 20 years have passed since some local businessmen here in Joliet and Will County had a vision of building a state-of-the-art drag strip and dirt track. And here we are 20 years later, and it's still considered best in class. In fact, NHRA Top Fuel dragster Antron Brown described the first time he came to Route 66 Raceway. He envisioned it. It was like what the Roman gladiators felt like in medieval times when they came upon the Roman Colosseum for the first time. They had never seen anything like that, the scale and the magnitude of it, and that's what our drag strip is, and we're very, very proud of it, and we're going to celebrate that milestone anniversary in a big way this season.
Yeah, the scale and magnitude is exactly the way that you would describe it, and it's to Antron Brown, you know, one of the greats, and certainly his opinion matters, but his opinion is shared by absolutely everybody. There is not a person that comes in. They will talk a little bit about the action on the track this season as it goes, you know, their hopes for great times and a successful weekend, but they always take time to talk about how great the facility is there, and so how do you honor a 20th anniversary? I know you're going to have some of the greats, you know, come on and talk. You're going to reminisce about some of the great moments. But what kind of things do you have that's special coming up?
Well, we've got an action-packed lineup of really every form of motorsports you can imagine, whether it's NHRA drag racing, where you watch these nitromethane fuel dragsters go from 0 to 330 in under 4 seconds, or a nostalgia event, the Route 66 Classic, or a thrill show, the Burndown at Sundown. Classic car cruise-ins, import face-off events, and everything in between. But, you know, you got to bring in the biggest name of all, Big Daddy Don Garlitz.
Nice.
You know, for that milestone event with the 20th anniversary with the NHRA National event. And he's going to be coming out to really make it a big weekend, May 31st through June 3rd with that celebration. And there's no more revered, no more accomplished or decorated drag racer than Big Daddy Don Garlitz. So we're honored to have him, along with a number of other legends, both on the national level and on the local regional level. This area has a very rich history of drag racing, and so a lot of those local names are going to be coming out, like Arnie Beswick and John Lawson and Chris Karamasinas and others. So really, really excited to bring that to life for our fans.
It is a great thing. The NHRA weekend, certainly a crown jewel in the schedule, and brings so many people, some of the stars of racing. But you guys do really make it a point to utilize the facility. You engage and kind of bring in the community to get in there, not only to see things and be entertained, but to participate, right? You mentioned some of these other events in the car shows and the cruise nights. You really are making Route 66 a place that people could enjoy all summer long.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about the, 16 or 17 race year rides that take place, where you yourself, Dane, could bring your car out here and drive it down this world famous drag strip and get timed at various intervals. And so it's very much a community drag strip where people can come out and experience this facility all to their own. And then we've got a season long bracket racing program where the local drag racers can come and participate for points and try and qualify for the big season ending championship in Pomona, California. So it very much is, we always say, this isn't our drag strip, it's Chicagoland's drag strip for people to enjoy.
Well, letting people know, of course, talking with Scott Paddock, he's the president of Chicagoland Speedway and Route 66 Raceway. You hit on it, Scott, right? I can bring my own vehicle there and all the talent in the world that I may possess, and who knows, it's infinite. I'm not sure if the Hyundai Elantra or if the 2007 Toyota 4Runner would be able to beat some of those cars, but you never know. With the talent, right, if I get it right on my end physically, we could win.
No doubt about it. And, that's a good reminder. That's the reason that drag racing facilities were built, because street racing was going on, and even today it still goes on to some degree, and it's not safe. It's dangerous. So drag racing and venues like Route 66 Raceway were built to allow people to pursue their passion and drive fast in a very safe environment. And that's why we do those kinds of events.
I am so excited for this season. We are going to do everything we can on this show here, On the Road with Dane and on WGN, to get the word out and to get as many listeners out there to enjoy Route 66 Raceway. You mentioned Big Daddy Don Garlicks. I passed his place a couple times heading on road trips to Florida. He's got that kind of compound headquarters Hall of Fame right there on the highway between here and, I think, Orlando. It's a little bit north of there.
That's right. Absolutely. And he's that's what's great about these drivers. They're so fan friendly. And that's what's great about that NHRA national event. You watch the action, the qualifying action on the track, and then you walk over to Nitro Alley and you've got a front row seat to watch these world class crew chiefs and mechanics break down these engines and rebuild them. And you've got a front row seat. And NASCAR drivers and NHRA racers are as fan-friendly as any professional athlete, and that's what I'm proud of. And Don Garlitz will be out there signing autographs and posing for pictures and recalling some great history that he made on the track.
Our good mutual friend, obviously, and your communications director, Denny Hartwig, I've heard that he is practicing. He's trying to get the voice down to recreate the commercial for Don Garlitz's introduction, the on fire, fire, fire. He's trying to get he's not there yet, but he's got a couple months in order to do it. I'm sure that, oh my gosh, so many memories. That is going to be so great to have him out there. Well, here's the other thing, too, is you guys have sort of this amusement. It's a buffet. It's a cornucopia of speed out there with the dirt track and Route 66 and Chicagoland Speedway. And you have a date change for that great NASCAR weekend.
We do. We're moving it as much as we liked having that September event and kicking off the playoffs. We're thrilled. In our early years, Dane, we were a summer race. And so a lot of folks cited, hey, it's hard in the fall to, with high school going on and college sports and the NFL. So we're thrilled to be going back to a summertime when families are looking for things to do and camp and tailgate and create some great family memories. So we're moving back there. And what's interesting about our position now is we're the lead kickoff broadcast for NBC's second half portion of the racing schedule. So that's going to bring with a lot of pre-promotion through the Olympics. I think they're going to be bringing some of the Olympic athletes from the Winter Games coming up here out to our event in late June, early July. So we're thrilled about that. And we're branding it our Stars and Stripes weekend.
Yes.
And we're going to wrap this weekend around patriotism and pageantry and Americana, and we're going to bring that to life in a really powerful way.
I am so excited. You know you're going to get extra attention. Obviously, Chicagoland, Chicago, the market, it's important. It's big. The drivers love it. The golfers love it. But you're going to get some extra attention because it is NBC. I was just with Rutledge Wood most of this last weekend and talking about some of those things that they're excited about, the Olympics and all that kind of stuff, the connection. I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, as Dale Jr., and this is a guy that you've had to work with over the years, obviously as one of those main attractions that would come in for the races. And now as he kind of transitions into not only a racing commentator, which seems like a natural fit, but he's going to be doing a little bit of Olympic stuff, you know, some Super Bowl, that makes sense, some Olympic stuff as well. What are your thoughts?
I love it. I mean, he's probably one of the biggest names in the history of our sport when you talk about that Earnhardt name and lineage and legacy. And so we need people like Dale Jr. to stay involved with the sport, much like Richard Petty has, much like Tony Stewart has as he's transitioned into an ownership role. So having Dale Jr. at the racetrack week in and week out for the fans to see and to spend time with, that's going to be big. And I'm excited that the platform that NBC is giving him on the Super Bowl and the Olympics, and I think his star power, as hard as this is to believe, it's even going to grow through that, you know, mega platform he's going to have here. But it's going to be great, and I'm excited for our fans that they're going to, although they won't be seeing him on the racetrack necessarily a lot next year, they're certainly going to see him around and at the racetrack.
He has talent and potential that we know is untapped. We know he has a sense of humor. We've seen him do the commercials where, you know, where he's water cooler Dale or Golden Years Dale. You know, he does that kind of stuff. But I, you know, it'll be interesting to see him kind of break down the action of maybe a figure skating or a luge or some of those things. I'm excited to see it.
I am too. I'd like to see him on the luge, you know.
they'll help with the aero package on the luge for sure. Okay, so I cannot wait again for the season. It's going to be fun. For those people who want to get involved, get their tickets, get ready, get in line, and be out to see you for all that fun this entire summer and fall, probably the spring too. Where can they go?
Sure, they can go to our website, ChicagolandSpeedway.com or Route66Raceway.com, or they can call 888-629-RACE, 888-629-RACE, and the best pricing is available right now. Parking is free as always, and you can bring your coolers into the grandstand. So just a great, affordable family value.
Scott Paddock from Chicagoland Speedway. Last thing before we let you go, I'm sure I'll see you at Daytona. Do you got any handicapping on what's going to happen? Any surprises coming up at the big race?
Wow, that's interesting. Well, I tell you, it's great to see Danica coming back, and I think what an appropriate way for her to go out with the Danica Double, as it's being called, racing in the Daytona 500 and at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the Indy 500. So GoDaddy Returns is her sponsor. So, you know, I look for her. You know, she won a pole a couple of years ago, and she's always done well on the super speedways. But handicapping out of the gate, that's a good one. What'll be interesting to me is to see how Martin Truex performs in year two in defending his championship from last year.
And you know the Daytona 500 star-studded. We'll probably see an Aaron Rodgers there in maybe a different capacity as official boyfriend, you know, right there. Or maybe it'll be an honorary crew, the over-the-wall gang. Who knows? Maybe he'll participate.
Yeah, I bet he'll be up on that pit box cheering on Danica. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Well, we are going to have some fun this summer. And Scott, thanks so much for jumping on the air and sharing it with us here on WGN.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Dane.
All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on what is still a beautiful and seasonably warm Michigan Avenue. And here's the opportunity to, we've got a couple things going on. One of them is the Bonafide Ride of the Show brought to you by Bona Beef, an opportunity to get a $25 gift card provided by our great friends over at Bona Beef. And all you have to do to enter is to send in. You can do it either by text, and you can add a picture. You can call in, same number, and talk to Camille about it. She'll write it down for you. It's 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. We take this next break. After that, we'll announce the winner for that. We've got some great ones. We'll read a couple of them that we can get to. We've got a 66 Impala that looks pretty awesome here. A great story behind it. We got Camille. You've got one from the 773. A dream car would be a 17 or 18 Chevy Camaro with the V6 and the top speed of 155. So that is a great one. And then there is it looked like a turbo Trans Am that was a 71 400 and I think 40 horsepower Trans Am that came in as well. There's a few other ones. I can't necessarily read them from here, but we're going to print some out and then we're going to throw them all in a hat. There is no advantage to to any one of the cars, because it's the first car, favorite car, dream car. Put them in there and we'll pick it out and we'll announce our winner for the bona fide ride of the show. The other thing, and you heard it a little bit earlier if you were listening, we had Ray Lampion on Dr. Barbecue talking about Winter Smoke 2018. This is the charity fundraiser barbecue extravaganza brought to you by the Illinois Barbecue Alliance. It's IBBQA.org, and you can go /events. So IBBQA.org/events to get, got a nice web page, got all kind of the stats, the facts, the figures and all that. We're going to give away two tickets here before the end of the program, and we'll figure out the way, and we're going to announce it before we go to that break. So Camille will have an opportunity. Two tickets to one person, right? What if that one person who wins could give their ticket to a stranger?
I don't know. I just want to make sure I'm not giving, like, that's one person one ticket and another person another.
Yes, yes. Joey Gelman once gave away, it was like four tickets and he gave four different winners one thing. It was a problem, right? So I'm glad you asked. So this is two tickets. So one winner gets two tickets. They could bring a friend or maybe an enemy they want to extend an olive branch to, or just a stranger, right? If you want to go ahead and do that. Winter Smoke 2018. It is Saturday, February 17th, 2018. It's 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., so kind of an afternoon event. I'll be there as the MC. I'm not sure I'm going to manage that. I think we've got a Northwestern game that's going to conveniently free us up to be able to go over there and MC that. But it won't just be me, thank goodness. There'll be some of your favorite stars from the barbecue world. You're going to have Sweet Baby Ray. So Dave Raymond will be there. Deuce Raymond, they'll be there with turkey sandwiches and a bunch of different things. We're going to have Ray Lampy, Dr. Barbecue. Famous Dave Anderson will be there. Charlie McKenna from Lily Q's. Barry Sorkin from Smoke. So some of the best out there enjoying some of the best barbecue. And for a great cause, too. Only $50 for the tickets. So get out there, get some tickets. Get over there and support at IBBQA.org. And we're going to have two tickets to give away to one winner. And what do you want to do, Camille? Like the eighth caller once we go to break?
Yeah, let's do eighth caller once we hit the break.
We're going to go to break and go ahead and call 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. The eighth caller is going to win those two tickets for that event coming up. So good luck for that. And again, when we come back from this break, we'll announce the bona fide ride of the show as well. So quick break. We'll come back. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. And we are back and we've got an opportunity to announce a couple of our winners. We've got the bona fide ride of the show, $25 gift card to Bona Beef. And the winner of that is Camille
Scott. With his Trans Am.
Scott Wallace with the Trans Am.
A
1971 455 horsepower Trans Am. It looks good. I'm sure he looks just as good now as he ever did. And those are amazing cars. I had a turbo Trans Am as well. It wasn't a 71. And it barely ran. But it was really great. And then for the other one, for Winter Smoke, a lot of people, behold the power of barbecue. I mean, I have never seen many people call in. Eighth caller, who is our winner there?
We got Richard. So, Richard, stay on the line, because I'm going to get some more info from you.
Richard from, like, from Berwyn or something?
It's
or?
A mystery.
Okay, Richard, the mysterious man. Congratulations. Yes. You're going to be opened up to the world of barbecue.